Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining me on this week's episode of I Don't Care with Dr. Kevin Stevenson. Always a pleasure to host you for a little chat, typically about healthcare topics. Today is going to be kind of a fringy topic. There's definitely aspects of healthcare involved, but I think you're going to really enjoy my guest today. My guest is Véronique Barbeau. I hope I didn't totally butcher your name, Véronique. She is the founder of Running for Humanity. And Véronique is going to be running the length of Africa, transforming millions of lives and providing clean water, agricultural education, and just empowering communities across Africa. So Véronique, welcome to I Don't Care.
Thank you very much, Kevin, for having me. It's a great, great pleasure. Thank you.
Well, Véronique and I met on a venture capital private equity funding call that I'm on a couple of times a month. And she told her a compelling story, and I thought it would be really interesting for you, my audience. And so wanted to bring her on. Véronique, tell my audience a little bit about you, about how this idea came to fruition. And what really impresses me is your passion for this. And so share a little bit about that, please.
Thank you very much, Kevin, for having me and for asking me. So first, like you said, I will be the first female to run the entire length of Africa. So that means from Alexandria to Cape Town, more than 15,000 kilometers of running, 19 countries, 100 communities impacted by countries. So we are hoping to impact more than 30 million of people. But the reality is, it's not about the run. It's the impact that we will be doing on the ground. So our project in Run for Humanity is we are here to really make a difference. So how we work is we work for and by the communities. Most importantly, is to bring out of the poverty cycle and to really tackle the transformation, the behavioral transformation of the communities. Because if we think about transformation, the way that we work is we transform, we work with the communities. So we always work with the communities. We make sure that the communities is transformed by themselves first. So we take time with them. We make sure to see where they are. We bring a behavioral change program at first. And after that, we make sure that they have water, agriculture, sanitation. And this is good, but this is not enough because we need also to bring education. So we have three pillars of education. The first one is financial literacy, because if we want to the people change their life, they need to take care of all the aspects. So we make sure to bring financial literacy. We make sure to bring business training and agro-business. So if they really want to get out, we need to tackle this one also. Mm-hmm. And the last one is health and sports, because at the end, we will run all together through the communities transform. So we make sure to run with them, walk with them, and make sure that their health is on check. And after that, we really work with the communities really closely. So we make sure to bring a strong KPI to mentor them, etc. So after 3 years, we're hoping that the communities will get out of the poverty cycle, and they will also bring a mentality, a mindset of freedom, of empowerment.
Okay. How do you propose to provide this financial and business education? Because that's a pretty daunting task for a lot of these communities that are pretty isolated, right?
It's a total good question, Kevin. And the way that we work is we work with and by the community. We have a big program, and it's the community themselves who will implement them inside of the communities. So we make sure that our financial literacy program fit the needs of every community. So let's say the program A with the community A might not be 100% accurate with community B. And we work with organizations who are doing this with the community already, because the way we work is just by partnership and with the partner on the ground who are already doing this with the community itself. So it's with and by the communities.
Okay, very good. Well, you're talking about providing clean water, and that's typically, you know, helping folks to dig wells or create irrigation systems and things like that. And I know I'm a former Rotarian, and I know that's a really big focus for the Rotary clubs here in the United States. So what types of partnerships do you have with people who are trying to do things like that? I know you and I have talked offline about connections within Rotary, but who else are you working with?
Thanks for the question, Kevin. So we work like, let's say, the water partner that we work with, and we are also open to work with other partners because, if we find a water solution in Egypt, the water solution won't work necessarily in Tanzania. So mm-hmm. we work with the water solution who is good with every country that we work. So let's say that the water partner that we have, they work with a solar panel, they work with existing borehole, because what we realize is in Africa, you have a lot of borehole, they just there abandoned. So instead of all creating from scratch, we go there, we took what is already there and said, okay, how can we go from what is already existing? So this is a way of working. And if in another communities they propose another water solution, we are happy to listen to them and to go with them. Because in fact, we are here to listen. We are here to adapt to every communities who is there and who wants to create the project with us.
Okay. So how have you chosen your route in the communities that you plan to work with? I find that incredibly fascinating.
Thanks, Kevin. So first, the run will be from Alexandria to Cape Town. Mm-hmm. So we work with a partner on the ground, like SOS and PO, mm-hmm. and with other partner who will be implementing the program that I just explained on the communities. And it's them with our partner who are going with the communities and said, okay, let's implement this program. So if I can say, we have a fantastic communities in Tanzania. And those communities, just like it's the chief of the village, just reached me out and he said, Mel, do you want to please come and come in my community and please introduce the program in my communities. So it's why this program in Tanzania is really close to my heart, because he was just reaching me out and he said, your project is fantastic. Let's do it together. So when we created, we co-created. So I said, okay, what is your major need? This is the program. How do you want us to implement it? So we started by scratch. We said, okay, how can we do financial literacy? So we build the program together. So we have like a picture, but it's elaborate with the people on the ground. And we have like a project manager, if I can say, who is the bridge between us and the communities to make sure that, in fact, it's the community itself, because it's them who will be appropriate this program and who will teach again and will teach to the other community, because it's a train of the trainer program. Mm-hmm. And we make sure that the communities is well served on the longer road.
Okay. Yeah, that was something I was curious about, is how do the communities find out about this? What sort of advanced marketing or advanced information you provided along this route? Because, you know, I can imagine, you know, if you're just happen to be running through a community, that might, you know, it could frankly startle some folks to see you and whatever team you have going with you, just running through their communities. So what are you doing for advance information?
Thanks for the question, Kevin. Like this morning, I was a meeting with one of our colleagues, and what we are doing is, like, let's say this guy is based in South Africa, and we said, okay, which kind of community, where we are going. So before the run, we need to know exactly which kind of community that we will be working with. So now it's the groundwork on deciding the communities, going to there, because it's a co-creation. Mm-hmm. So, and usually when we knock to the door, like, everyone wants us, and now we see the effect, like the opposite effect. I have people and said, okay, come and work on my community. So it's really beautiful to see. So the way that we see, we said, okay, we look at the map and we said, okay, where can we go? And because it's for and by the community, obviously we have some extraordinary partner on the ground who are based in the country. We said, okay, this part of the country is needed. So in fact, the way that we are in Run for Humanity, for my hand, is to reach people on the ground who know better their needs and said, okay, where is your needs are? I'm here to serve. So the way that I see my humble role is to really create a global shift, because we have the capability to change. Like my mission is to change the world. It's a big mission, but I think we can. And if we think about this, like when I think about the behavioral program, about like how we are programming our mind, our way to live with yourself. And it's often a program that it's overlooked by the other NGO. Why? Because the change is holistic. We need to think about the entire picture of change. Mm-hmm. So if, like, I said, we need to change ourselves first, because if you don't change yourself, how you can make appropriate change? Because what you bring out into the world is the value, the emotion, and what you want to bring to the world. So we're doing this with the communities. We make sure to work with them and to see if we are aligned with the water, with the agriculture. We make sure to work with women, because it's sad, but some women have some problem with domestic violence. We need to be attuned with them, because it's just sometimes life doesn't go the way we want to go, that we are in Africa or here and everywhere. So we are here to really make evolve the communities, and the only way is to work with the communities. And I see myself to really be in the service of the communities and to bring what they cannot necessarily bring. What I mean is a little bit push of money, and also education, bringing the education they need to just level up, because I believe they have everything they need. It's obvious. We are not there to push them in a way that they have everything. They are perfect the way they are. But with just a bit of push in terms of the basic needs, the education, and make sure to work with the best implementer on the ground, that we make sure that the project will sustain and they will get out of the poverty cycle.
Okay. So we need to talk about you a little bit, because you said this is 14,000 kilometers, right? Roughly. Okay. So what kind of training are you doing to be able to run, and how long do you expect this to take you to run the length of Africa?
Thank you, Kevin. First thing, I think I told you previously, but I did a bit of practice in 2016. I ran 3,010K in 72 days in Japan. So the average is one marathon a day in, day out for 72 days. I also won overall a race in Malaysia just before COVID. It was 444K race. I won from like all the men, all the women. I was the only woman, so I won this race, and I also had like the race record anyway. So a fancy number. So what I realize is what it needs to train is consistency. And it's not necessarily to push. It's not about competition anymore. It's about consistency to make sure that the kilometer that I need to get to is always on the training path. And it's the same kind of training that I'm doing for those race that I was doing, but doing it consistently, run, walk, make sure that I'm hydration well, make sure that I listen my body. And the fact also, Kevin, that people doesn't really understand is, as crazy as it sounds, the biggest training will be when I will be doing it. Because like, let's say that the major part of the training will start 4 months, 5 months before I really start the run, because I don't want to exhaust myself in a certain way. And if you think about 6 months of really specific training before starting the length of Africa, and when I will be running in Africa, I will be training in a certain way. So I need to make sure that when I start Africa, my level of fitness will be on the top as I possibly can. So this is my goal. And hopefully we will be having a pilot project really soon in South Africa. So that will be for us also not just about the community, but when you talk about the run, knowing okay what works, what can work better. So and also in terms of the kilometer that I want to do a day, my goal is to run around when I start maybe the first 2 weeks 30K a day, and after that increasing to go around 45 kilometer a day. And my big stop will be during the communities, because it's all about the community, you know. So we will have some proper time with the communities. So depending of the time, my goal is 10 days of running straight, maybe 2-3 days off, and after that continue until the end. I'm hoping to do it in maybe 1 year, one year and 2-3 months, something like this. Okay. I know the first one who did it, like I think it's 15 years ago, Nicolas Born, did it in 75, I don't know, it's less than a year. So I'm hoping to do it maybe in 1 year and 3 months, something like this.
Okay, great. Do you have a projected start date in your mind?
Thanks for asking, Kevin. And if I can ask your audience, because I would love to have the most support as I possibly can. And when you think about, and I will answer to the question of the date, but when you think about support, yes, of course, we think about financial support, but it's also if someone is appealing to come and run with me in Africa, it's something that we'll be also developing with. I'm working with an amazing lady who will be like in charge of the run, in charge of all the this organization aspect of the run. So we want to have people with us. We want to have people running. We want to have people with the communities, because I truly believe that it's transformational for the communities, but that will also be transformational for me, for the team. And we want to give this opportunity for people to come with us and get transformed with this, because the entire purpose of Run for Humanity is to have more connection, because we live in a world who is so much disconnected. And when I finished Japan in 2016, and it's where I realized that Run for, like, we need to doing it, because when I was running this 30,000 kilometers, I was like, it was fascinating. It was so beautiful. And people on the street in Japan, and I don't speak Japanese, but they stopping me. They offer me food. They offer me to go to their roof. It was like, wow, I never seen so much generosity for people that I never know, and offered me to go to restaurant, to their family. It was humanity that I never experienced in my entire life. And it's where after this I said, Do you know what? We all see it all wrong because we are so preoccupied by ourselves and by our thinking in our mind, how good we are and how we need to do this, et cetera, et cetera. So we never see life purely with openness and the way it is. So with this opportunity, I said, this is exactly it. So I said to myself, we need to live humanity more. And the only way that we can do this is I can do it and we can share it around the world, because we are in the context that it's more needed with all the war we see. We becoming more close, more like it's time to open ourselves to oneness and to see if we are so lucky to have water, to have all those needs that they come to us. So it's just it's normal to give them back. And the only way we can do it is if we are all of us in connection with our own humanity, and it's the only way we can open up and share to other one. So this is the spirit that I have when I create Run for Humanity. And every morning when I open my eyes, I said, this is for a purpose bigger than myself. Even if I found it myself, Run for Humanity, it's your organization and it's the organization to all of us. And it's our like responsibility to make the world a better place than the one that we found when we arrive.
Okay. Well, obviously, looking at me, I'm not a runner, so I won't be joining you in Africa. But tell me a little bit about the team that's going to be going with you. You know, I envision this like a cycling race or like a Tour de France type thing, where you know, you've got a chase vehicle and you've got people, you know, trading out shoes with you, and obviously you want companions running with you. But you've got people with water and food and snacks and all of that, and maybe in some areas protection, if I'm not mistaken. And I would think that along the way you're going to have some sort of social media presence. Am I right?
Yeah. Yes. Thanks for the question, Kevin. And something that I forgot to mention, but I'm an author. The book Fearless that I can put for your audience, and also a public speaker. So I'm so privileged because we already have a filmmaker who wants to come with us and to film this experience. Okay. So like for the pilot, we already have BBC Africa wide who wants to come. So we have big name in terms of media visibility. We are talking with really big corporation who wants to join us. So this run will be really A-level event, and it's exactly why we want to at this level we want to doing it. Why? Because more people will join the run, more people, the bigger profile we can have, the biggest transformation we can do. And we talk about Africa, but Africa is just the start, because for me it's the other side of Africa. It's Southeast Asia, it's South Asia, it's Nepal, it's everywhere, because the needs is everywhere and the humanity is also everywhere. So to answer to your question, the way that we want is we start as soon as we can start, we start. So the goal of the start of the run, I'm hoping in 1 year, and maybe depending on how we map out with our partner, a pilot this summer. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we just go during the long run. But the pilot will serve us to see exactly the program, how it goes, just a trial run, if I can say. So this is this. We are hoping to have two truck, a team, not a really big team, let's say four to five people, and me on top of this, make sure that we have someone for the truck, for the like the security also, the social media. So all the aspects that you mentioned, we will be having it, but we don't want also too big. Why? Because we want to make sure that the funds that we have go where it's mattered the most. That means our communities.
Sure. Very good. Well, yeah, I can already think of a few ways that my audience can get involved. Obviously, you know, financial support. You know, if anybody is a runner that would love to come and run with you, I'm sure. But also, I just got on your website, run4humanity.org. And I signed up for your newsletter because I want to keep, you know, I'm going to keep in touch and I want to find out, you know, what's going on as you prepare for this and certainly during the run. So any other ways that my audience can get involved?
Thank you, Kevin, for asking. First, I would love to hear from you. Don't hesitate to just send me an email or something so we can see how we can get involved because it's a two-way stream. I love to hear from you and say how you can get involved in Run for Humanity. So but please don't hesitate. Like financial support, of course, but also any other way that some people can have talent in some way that they can help the organization itself. So any ways that you can bring, I'm open to hear that and to grow, because in fact the Run for Humanity is not just an organization. The way that we are creating it, it's a wave. It's for all of us, and it's the only way we can change, because it's not like it's the white fancy woman who run. This is really not what Run for Humanity is. It's for all of us. It's for humanity. It's for creating oneness in this world who I think we forgot that we are all one. So this is the spirit of Run for Humanity. So just reach me out and we work all together on this.
That sounds great. Well, hey, Veronique, if you put together t-shirts, I'll wear a t-shirt. You know, I'll certainly support in that way. And I definitely want to stay in touch because it's just fascinating. I think it's really cool what you're doing. So everyone, I hope you've enjoyed as much as I have my conversation today with Veronique Barbeau, the founder of Run for Humanity. Well, as I said, run4humanity.org. She's an author. She's a speaker. But definitely go to her website and sign up for a newsletter so you can keep up with the good work that she's doing. Veronique, thanks for joining me today on I Don't Care.
Thank you very much, Kevin, for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's another episode of I Don't Care for this week. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Kevin Stevenson, and we will see you next time. Take care.